Okay, so we're on Daf Lamed tonight. Okay, so I'll begin on the top on Lamed. I'm gonna off the top line. So the Mishnah says, "Manitim shlosha achim, shnayim nesum shtei achayot." You have three brothers, and two of the brothers are married to two sisters. So this will be sort of the scenario for many of the Mishnayot that we're going to be learning. So you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. He says, "Ve'achana sui nachrid." And Levi is married to an unrelated person we'll call Sarah. He says, "Meidachan mibalei achayot." So now, let's say Reuven dies, the kanasa sui nachrid adishto, and Levi does yibum with her. So again, so Reuven is dead, Levi does yibum with Rachel, and Levi is married to Rachel and to Sarah at this point in time. Umeid, and then Levi's gestorben geboren. So then Levi dies. So he says, Harishona yotza mishum achot isha. So now, as Shimon looks at the scenario, so Shimon has two women in front of him. One is Rachel, who's his wife's sister. That we know that's going to be dead on arrival. And then we have Sarah, who's her tzara. Sarah is the tzara, right? So he says here, so Rishona yotza mishum achot isha. So the first one, meaning Rachel, she gets discharged because she's his wife's sister, and there's no yibum with the wife's sister. And the second one is the tzara. The second one's the tzara. So the tzara of an erva is also released. So that's pretty straightforward. Now, the Gemara changes the fact scenario a little bit. Asaba mamar. Let's say Levi, instead of marrying Rachel, instead of doing yibum with Rachel, he only did mamar with Rachel. He only did mamar with her. Now we know Mamar, according to Beit Shammai, was a Doraisa, but according to Beit Hillel, it's a Din Derabanan. So assuming like we're like Beis Hillel, so then Levi is only married to Rachel on a Derabanan level, so to speak. So his main marriage is to Sarah. And then Rachel is sort of like the add-on. Rachel's the add-on. So he says, Umeit Nachrit, Umeit. And then Levi dies. So Nachrit Choletzet Velomit Yabemet. So Rachel is out of the picture for sure, because at most, like even if she would be his wife, but she's the sister of Leah, so Shimon isn't going to do even with her. She's totally out of the parsha. But on the other hand, on a deraisa level, she's not really the wife. So on a deraisa level, as Shimon looks at Sarah, so Sarah really, you know, has to do Yibum or Chalitza. So here, so the Talmud Mishnah says, Nachrit choletzet lomu yabemet. That we're going to do her chalitza, not yibum. We're not going to do yibum because she looks too much like the tzara of an erva. She looks too much like the tzara of an erva, like the co-wife of an erva. But we're going to require chalitza. Let me just do a few lines in the Gemara, and then we'll pause. We'll take some questions. Okay. Now the Gemara says tama da avibah mamar. So the Gemara assumes. Now we're going to see later on in the Gemara. There's a different way to understand this Mishnah. So one way to understand the Mishnah is that there is Zika. And so if there's Zika, what difference does it make if he does Mamar or not? In other words, Levi does Mamar with Rachel. But this Gemara is going to have a shot later on in the Daf that really the Mamar is like a red herring. Whether he does Mamar with her or he doesn't do Mamar with her, there's still a Zika between Levi and Rachel. So Rachel is sort of like his semi-wife through the Zika. And the other one is, you know, sort of like the Sarah of the Zakuka. So either way, the halacha would be the same. And the Mishnah really put in this thing with Ma'amar is really just to show you that the Tana does not agree with Beit Shammai. That's what Ma'amar is doing there. Because according to Beit Shammai, the Ma'amar would be so powerful, then Sarah would be released without anything. That's what Beit Shammai holds. That's what the Gemara is going to say later on in the Amud. But right now, we're not going to say like that. So the Gemara says, Tama, the Abba Mamar. The reason we think that Sarah can't do Yibum with Shimon is because Levi, her husband, did Mamar with Rachel. So he says, Halo Abba Mamar, not for Yibum Namiyama. So the implication is that if Levi didn't do Mamar, then there's a green light for Rachel for Sarah to have Yibum with Shimon. In other words, again, Levi had two wives, or Levi had one wife, Sarah, and then Rachel, he did Mamar with. But the implication of the Mishnah is, it's because he did Mamar with Rachel, that's why Sarah got pushed away from Yibum. But had he not done Mamar with Rachel, then in Achinami, Sarah would have a root, or Shimon would have the option of doing Yibam with Sarah. So he says, Amar Rav Nachman Zodomeret Ein Zika Bafilu B'Karacha. So Rav Nachman says, from this Mishnah, assuming everything I said is correct, and the Gemara is going to have questions about it later on, then it would stand for the proposition that there's no Zika. And again, it was different Shittot about the Zika. So we saw, Bichamai said, we had Machlok in the Gemara, whether it's Yesh Zika or Ein Zika. So this sounds like this Mishnah holds for Ein Zika. There's no Zika between the surviving brother and the widow. And so that being the case, so Rachel's totally out of the picture if there's no Ma'amar. And then the only thing left is Sarah. Okay, that's what we think. Okay? All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? All right, so I'm going to go on. Okay, next Mishnah. Everybody ready? Okay, Matt and Ethan. Now the next Mishnah is similar to the first. Each one is similar, but then with a little change in it. Okay? So Manitin, Shosha Achim, Shnayim Nesuim Shtei Achayot. Again, we have three brothers, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. And two of them, i.e. Reuben and Shimon, are married to two sisters, who we'll call Rachel and Leah. This is Bechan Nesuim Nachrit. And Levi is married to an unrelated person, which we'll call Sarah, the same as before. So far, the fact pattern is the same in the first Mishnah. But here, Mehan Nesuim Nachrit. So here, instead of Reuven dying, Reuben was married to Rachel. Instead of Reuven dying, Levi dies. So Levi's dead, and Sarah is standing, is ready for Yibam. And then, indeed, Reuven takes her in. He does Yibam with her. So at this point in time, Reuven is married to both Rachel and to Sarah. So he says, Umeit. And then Reuven is gestorben geboren. Reuven dies. So Harishoni Yotzeit Mishom Achorisha. So Reuven's first wife, Rachel, she's discharged because she's Achorisha. She's Shimon's wife's sister. Shimon is married to Leah. So Shimon looks at the situation, he sees Rachel and Sarah. So Rachel is out of the picture because she's the wife's sister. Ushniya Mishom Tsarata. And the second wife, Sarah, is the Tsara of an Erva. So she's discharged as well. Now we're going to change the fact pattern slightly. Asaba Mamar. Let's say Reuven, instead of doing Yibam with Sarah, he does Ma'amar with Sarah. Asaba Ma'amar. So it means Reuven's primary wife is Rachel, but he did Ma'amar with Sarah. Sarah is like the add-on. Asaba Ma'amar Umeit, and then Reuven dies. Nachrit Choletzet Velomit Gebemet. So Sarah has to do chalitza, not yibam. In other words, it really means Rachel is totally out of the picture. But if Sarah would really be his full wife, she would also be out of the picture. But it's not his full wife. All he did was Ma'amar with her. So we're not going to let Shimon do yibam with her, but we'll make him do at least chalitza, because on a derisa level, she's not even married to Reuven. All right? Now, the Gemara said,
person, Sarah, is not a
full Sarah? So, right, with Ma'amar, again, Ma'amar, according to the way Beis Hillel understands it, and that's the way we would hold, like, Halacha Maisa, it's just on a Drabanan level. It's just you acquire her on a Drabanan level. On a Drabanan level, they're not married. But then we'll get involved with other factors. But that's the way it is. Okay, so it means on a Drabanan level, Sarah is still standing for Yibam, you know, even from Levi's death. And then on a derisa level, Shimon could be miyabim her. But because she's the sort of the Sarah, but only on a Drabanan level with Rachel, she has to do chalitza, not Yibam. So the Gemara says, Hatu lamali hainuhach. So the Gemara says, why do I need this Mishnah? It's really the same thing as the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah was Reuven dies, in my example, and Levi's married to two people. So Levi's primary wife is Sarah, and the add-on is Rachel. So in that case, we said that, you know, Rachel walks, and the Sarah has to get Chalitza. In this case, we've similar, Levi dies, and Reuven takes Sarah as the add-on. So it's basically the same idea. If I have a Ma'amar wife, and she's the co-wife of an erva, she does chalitza not yibam. So it's the same halacha. Why does Tanakh teach me twice? So the Gemara says, Hashtag mahatam Da'achod isha havitzara lenachrit. Now, in the first Mishnah, the erva, which was Rachel, was just the add-on. In other words, Levi's main wife, Levi died in the first Tukimta. So Levi's main wife was Sarah, right? Levi's main wife was Sarah. And then Rachel was the add-on. But notwithstanding that, when Levi dies, you know, Rachel's the spoiler for that can't go forward with Yibam, even though Rachel was just like an add-on wife. He says, so again, Mahatam to Achor Isha have Yitzara Lenachrit. The Achor Isha is the Tzara to the Nachrit. Amar Nachrit Asura, Hacha de Nachrit have Yitzara Lachor Isha. Here, the main wife is indeed Rachel. In other words, Rachel is the poison. I hate to use that term. Rachel is the poison, like the poison pill in the whole situation. So here, where the poison is the main wife, so I'll look Kol Shekain. So certainly she's going to have to do chalitza. So the Gemara says, Tana hach Tana Bereisha. He says the Tana actually taught this last Mishnah first. The Tana originally taught this Mishnah first, which is the lesser chiddush. He says b'hach. And initially, the Tana thought that in the first Mishnah, where the poison was just the add-on wife, he thought that indeed Sarah could do Yibam with Shimon. He initially thought that Sarah could do Yibam with Shimon. Now, we have in the Gemara, he says, he thought for Heter in the first case, meaning Sarah, Bisharia would have permitted it, but there's another Girsa, which the Arsul quoted from the Rashash. This is B'shaira. He left it out. In other words, he didn't learn the first Mishnah. Because the first Mishnah, he felt that Sarah is actually permissible for Yibam. B'hadar chazil isura. Then later on, he thought, no, we're going to do, it should be even easier in that case. I did the chavivulei, and since it's so chaviv to him, this chiddush, that even Sarah is prohibited, akdama. So he formulated that Mishnah, and he put that Mishnah front and center. In other words, so once he teaches that Mishnah, you're right, everything else falls into place. But that Mishnah chronologically came later. And the second Mishnah, which had already been formulated, stayed where it was. So first the second Mishnah was formulated, and then the first Mishnah was formulated, which is a greater Chiddush, but he liked the Chiddush so much, he taught it first. Once you have that mission, you really don't need the second one. But since the second one had been formulated, left it where it was. In other words, in both cases, we have a brother who's married to an erva, which is Rachel, and a tzara, who's not an erva. In the second case, the erva was the add-on. The erva was the Maimar wife. So in other words, the erva is the poison pill. So the poison pill is just the Maamar, just like the secondary wife. And notwithstanding that, she can't do Yibam. So certainly in the first case, maybe I flipped the cases here. I'm sorry. One second. Right. Okay, please. I only one person can talk at this time. Okay, I'm talking right now, and then I'll open up the floor. Okay. So again, in the first Mishnah, right. So in the first Mishnah, the Levi took in Rachel as Mamar wife, and notwithstanding that, he poisoned the whole relationship when he dies with Sarah. Right, Rachel poisons everything as a Mamar wife. So if I know that Rachel has the koach to poison everything as a Mamar wife, certainly she has the koach to poison everything as the primary wife, because then she's really his wife. So certainly in that case. The second case is more obvious. In other words, once I know the first case, the second case is obvious. And Sarah was the add-on wife. Okay. So that's what the Gemara wants to say. So he says, so I'm sorry. Yeah. So after Mishnah is Azim Mikama. Okay. Any of the questions, comes to us, anything we did so far? Everybody good?
I have a question.
Yeah, what's up?
The Zika and the Ma'amar, they're not interchangeable, but one seems to be more powerful than the other. The Ma'amar seems to.
Okay. First of all, again, we said there's a machloket in the Gemara whether it's Yesh Zika or Ain Zika. Not everybody agrees that there is like a Zika prohibition. And according to many, Zika is only in Drabanan. So even the people who hold that Ain Zika will hold there's such a thing as Ma'amar. So then if I assume that there's Ain Zika, then Ma'amar, of course, is going to trump the situation. If there's Yesh Zika, then that would change the whole scenario. Then it would change the whole scenario. But the go ahead. Okay. So we're assuming in this Mishnah up till now that there's Ain Zika. That's what we're assuming. So assuming that there's Ain Zika and then you have Ma'amar, then we're assuming that the Ma'amar is really what's doing it all. But we'll see in the end of the Mishnah, the Gemara, that it could be that the Tana holds there is Zika.
Aren't they almost interchangeable? Almost?
They're not interchangeable. There's different concepts because with Ma'amar, then once you do Ma'amar, you need to get to dissolve the Ma'amar. But it does create a connection. That's all I could say at this point in time. All right, let me go further. Now, next Mishnah. Okay, Manitin, don't forget to mute yourself. Okay, Manitin. Shosha Achim, Shnayim Mishum Shtei Achayot. We have three brothers, two of them are married to two sisters. So again, we have Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. Reuben and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah. And Levi is married to Sarah. Bechanas Tui Nachri. Meidachami Bali Achayot. I'm going to do the Reuben dies. They have it the article their way, but this is the way I find it clearer. So then Reuben dies. Bechanasna Sui Nachri to the Ishto. And Levi does Yibum with Reuben's widow. So again, Reuben was married to Rachel. Reuben dies. And Levi does Yibum with Rachel. So at this point, Levi is married fully to Rachel and to Sarah. Umeita Ishto Shosheni. And then Leah, who is Shimon's wife, dies. Leah, who is Shimon's wife, dies. Bacharkach Meitna Suinakri. Then Levi dies. So at the point in time when Levi dies, so now as Shimon looks at the situation, Shimon is a widower. And as Shimon looks at the situation, he sees Rachel, who was his late wife's sister, and he sees Sarah. He says, Harezu Asura Lav Olami. So Rachel is still prohibited on Shimon forever. Hovil v'nes relav sha'achat, because she was prohibited to him initially in the Yibum situation, meaning when Reuven died, Yehuda was still married. I mean, Shimon was still married to Leah. Shimon was still married to Leah. And so then at that point, Rachel was prohibited to him. Then Levi took Rachel in. And then at that point, Leah passed away. And then Shimon died. Then Levi died. So Shimon, when he thinks about his relationship with Rachel, so initially Rachel was prohibited to him in a Yibam situation. In the initial Yibam, it was prohibited to him. So the Tana Mishnah says, if she was prohibited in a Yibam situation, that follows her throughout, never permissible. Okay? Everybody good with the Mishnah? All right? Right. Normally, if a man is married to one of two sisters and then the wife dies, he can marry the other sister. But in this case, not. Okay? Now, let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara says, I'm Rav Yehuda Marav, Hu Yivama She'enani Korei B'Bashat Nefila, Yivama Yavawala, Reiki Eshirach Sheish Labanim Basura. So Rav says, whenever you have a Yavama, that I can't say B'Shat Nefila. Shat Nefila means at the time of the death of her husband, Yivama Yavawala. I can't say there's a green light for the Yavam to have relations with her, to do Yibam with her, Reiki Eshirach Sheish Labanim Basura. So then she's like a brother's wife that has kids. In other words, she's prohibited. It's like the mark of Cain is on her and never permissible to the Yavam. Even if circumstances later on change. So, all right, we'll see in a minute. So he says, so the Gemara says, my Kamash Malan, what is Rav teaching me? Tanina, I already learned that in our Mishnah. In other words, all the Amoraim knew all the Mishnayot by heart. So our Mishnah says, Harezu Asru Lav Olamid, Hoel Ben Esra Lav Shachat. The Mishnah says that Rachel is prohibited to Shimon because Rachel was initially prohibited to Shimon when Reuven, his brother, died. So even though later on Levi took her in, and then Levi died, it's too late. So I know it from the Mishnah. What is Rav teaching me? So the Gemara says, "Ma'od the Tema, Hani Milaheichlo Ichazula Benafil Rishona." I would have thought, just from the Mishnah is talking about a case that during the entire Yibum period, Rachel was never Reui for Shimon. In other words, initially, when her husband Reuven died, so then. And until Levi did Yibam with her, Rachel was prohibited on Shimon because Shimon was married to Leah. He says, but let's change the fact pattern. Let's assume that after Reuven died and Rachel became a widow, let's assume that at that point, Shimon's wife Leah died. Let's say before Levi did Yibam with Rachel, Rachel's sister died. So now is there any impediment for Shimon to do Yibam with Rachel? His wife's not alive anymore. You have it? Okay, so the Gemara. Before Levi did Yibam with her, right? I would think then she's permissible. In other words, I would think the Mishnah is saying that Rachel is always prohibited to Shimon when Rachel was prohibited from the get-go, from the time her husband died till Levi did Yibam with her. But where that during that entire period that wasn't true, I would think she's permissible to him, even if Levi does Yibam with her. And then afterwards, you know, she opens up, she's still permissible. That's what I would think. It says, Kama Shmalan. So here, Rav teaches me that if Yavama B'shas Nefila, at the time of the death of her husband, she's prohibited, she's already always prohibited. In other words, if at the time of the death of her husband, you know, Shimon couldn't do Yibam with her, she's always prohibited on Shimon. So the Gemara says, one second, let us be patient and let us wait six lines. Please mute. Okay. So the Gemara says, Hanami Tanina. The Gemara says, but I learned that in the Mishnah as well. This Mishnah is on Daf Yomi on Friday, in Daf Lamed Beis. Shnei Achim, Nesum Shtei Achayot. You have two brothers, Reuben and Shimon, married to, you guessed it, Rachel and Leah, made a chad mehem. Now we only have two brothers. One of the brothers dies, v'charkach meita ishto shosheni. So it means Reuben dies, Rachel is all made for Yibam, but the only one who can do Yibam with her is Shimon, and Shimon is married to Rachel's sister Leah. So that's a dead ladder. He says, but then, v'charkach meita ishto shosheni, but then Shimon's wife Leah dies. He says, Harezu Asru Lo V'Lamid. So the Talmud Mishnah says, notwithstanding the fact that now Shimon's wife is dead, he still cannot do Yibam with Rachel. Hoel Ben Esra Lav Shachat. Since Rachel was prohibited from the get-go, that's it. It's prohibited. So what is Rav teaching me? I know it from the later Mishnah. So between all the Mishnayot, I don't need Rav. One second. So the Gemara says, Ma'od Tema, I would have thought like this. If I only had the Mishnayot, I would have said like this. I would have said in the Mishnah later on, Daf Lamed Beis, Rachel has been shut out totally. In other words, the only possible taker for her would be Shimon in terms of Yibam, and Shimon is not available. So then I would say, you're right, then Shimon can never take her. In other words, she's been mufka from this din of Yibam. But here in our case, where you have three brothers, and one brother dies, and so as Rachel looks at the situation, Levi could take her in, which is what eventually he does. So he says, but then her sister Leah dies. He says, I would say, Migo de Chazilahai Nasui Nachrid, since Rachel was eligible in Yibam, she's not totally mufka from Yibam, because Levi could do Yibam with her. So she's really also for Shimon. In other words, I'm not closing the door in Yibam for her. So I'd say, you know, I didn't shut the door in Yibam for her. And now Shimon became available for her. So maybe Shimon could do it, I would think. So Kama Shulhan. So that's what Rav is teaching me. Even under that circumstance, you know, vis-a-vis Shimon, Rachel is finished. They can never do even with Rachel. So the idea we're learning is that if at the time of the death of her husband, one brother for some reason cannot marry her, in our case, she's because of a sister, whatever, even if circumstances change later on, as in the sister dies, once she's Aser, she remains prohibited forever. Okay, now, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I said?
Ruth? I have, because they were sisters, aren't they Erva? One of them is Erva to begin
That's
with.
Correct.
And even in the situation where the other one dies, she still is still Erva and not permitted. That's what we learned.
Ruth. Let's take a different case, Ruth, okay? Let's say I have not a Yibam case, right? Let's say I have Reuven and Shimon. Not Reuven and Shimon. Let's take something in the other case. Let's take Reuven is married to Rachel, and Rachel has a sister, Leah. So Reuven, Rachel dies. Can Reuven marry Leah?
No.
Yes, he can.
Why?
In other words, I can't marry two sisters when they're alive. If one sister says Latzur Lebechayah in her lifetime, but if one sister dies, I can marry the other sort of sister. You got that?
Yeah, I just thought that once she's Erva, she's
Okay, you got it wrong. Now you got it right. Okay. Okay. Now, okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Yeah, Reuven, right? No. We're looking at the whole Yibam picture. So the movie begins at Reuven's death. We have three brothers. The first brother to die, that's when the movie begins. She became prohibited at that point. Right. At the death of Reuven, that shot in the fila. Okay? Okay, I'm moving on. Everybody ready? Okay, let's all mute ourselves. Don't forget to mute ourselves. Make sure you're muted, Ruth, okay? Let me make sure everybody's muted. Okay, let's go on. We're at the Mishnah at the bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph, 10 lines from the bottom. Okay, now I think you're familiar with this fact pattern already. Again, three brothers, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. And Reuben and Shimon are married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. And Levi is married to an unrelated woman, Sarah. Now we're introducing a new variable. Now, let's say Reuven divorces Rachel. So he says, Umate, then Reuven dies. Umate Nasui Nachrit. And then, excuse me, I didn't say right. Let me go back. So I'm sorry. So Reuven divorces his wife Rachel. Umate Nasui Nachrit. And now Levi dies. So Levi was married to Sarah. The Kinsa Hamagarish. And now Reuven, who had previously been married to Rachel was the poison. So Reuven previously was married to poison. I'm only calling it poison because I'm trying to give him. So Reuven was previously married to poison. And now Reuven divorced poison. And now he marries Sarah, who's like, you know, is good food or whatever. So, but Rachel and Sarah were never wives to Reuven at the same time. First Rachel was his wife, and then Sarah was his wife. And then Reuven dies. Zuisha Amru, so concerning this case, because I'll teach us, the Kulan Shemetu, Onit Garshu, Saratain Lutarot, that if any of the Arayos that we learned in the first mission, we had 15 Arayos, 15 prohibited sexual relations, if any of them die or are divorced, their Tsarot are permissible. So now we'll see. But it means basically Rachel's out of the situation. And Sarah, upon Reuven's death, is open for Yibam or Chalitza by Shimon. Okay, now look in the Gemara. Now the Gemara says, Tama d'ki reshva tarkat mate. Now the Gemara has been dayek. Apparently, the reason this works is because Reuven first divorced Rachel, and then, only then, did Levi die. So Levi died at the time of Levi's death. Rachel is not married to Reuven. But let's say I change the fact pattern a little bit and say that Levi would die, and then after Levi's death, So at Levi's death, Levi is married to Sarah. But let's say Levi dies, and then and only then Reuven divorces his wife. But Farkat Yirish Asura. So then we think if that's the case, then Sarah would be prohibited for Yibam with Shimon. All right, that's what we assume from the Mishnah. So if Levi dies first, and then and only then Reuven divorces Rachel, so it means so then even if he does Yibam with Sarah, still upon Reuven's death, Sarah is prohibited for Yibam with Shimon, we think. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabashi, less narrow line, Zoto Meret, Yesh Zika, Afilu B'Trei Achei. So that reading of the Mishnah, the way I just read the Mishnah, this gives rise to the thought that the Tana of the Mishnah holds there is Zika. In other words, why would that be the case? Why is the Mishnah saying, why is he so medayek that Reuven divorces Rachel before Levi dies? Why is the Tana giving me that case? It must be because if he divorces her after Levi dies, then the situation in the halacha is different. Why would the halacha be different? The halacha would be different if I assume that there's Zika. Zika means that upon Levi's death, there's automatically a connection created between Sarah and Reuven and Shimon, because they're both eligible to do Yibam with her. And having that Zika, so it means that now I have Zika and Reuven has Zika with Sarah and he's married to Rachel. So at that point, we think that would block Sarah, even though he later on divorces Rachel, that would block Sarah from Yibam later on with Shimon. So he says, Zodomer Zika, people to pray after. That means a Zika, even with two surviving brothers. And there was one brother that's stronger, the two is like more watered down, but still Zika. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, the Ravashi kashrut Rav Nachman. So according to Ravashi, the Tana holds there is Zika. How do we explain the first Mishnah? Remember the first Mishnah we had where Levi did Mamar with Rachel. And as a result of that, we saw it. So Sarah couldn't do Yibam with Shimon, he had to do Chalitza. But if there's Zika, so even if Levi doesn't do Mamar with Rachel, there's a Zika between Levi and Rachel. So Ravashi kashed Rav Nachman. Amalach Ravashi, who attend the Afagab Luava Mamar, Nachat Chalitza, Yibumilo Miyama. So Ravashi would say the Peshat in the first Mishnah is it doesn't make a difference. Mamar is like a red herring. Doesn't make a difference whether Levi did Mamar with Rachel or not. The result would be the same. The result being that upon Levi's death, Shimon has to do Chalitza with Sarah. He can't do Yibam with her because there was Zika. And so you have the Zika with an Erva. He says, V'hadik Tani Mamar, and the reason that Tana even mentioned Mamar, why does he even mention it? That's the red herring. La'puki mi Beit Shammai. To emphasize that Tana does, that the Tana does not agree with Beit Shammai. Remember, Beit Shammai said Mamar was din Doraisa. The Amri Mamar Kona, turn page on the top line on Laman Amud Beis, Mamar Kona Kinyan Gamor, that Mamar affects a Kinyan Gamor. So remember, we learned yesterday different Shitot, but maybe Mamar, according to Beit Shammai, would knock the co-wife even from Chalitza, according to Beit Shammai, right? In other words, if Levi does Mamar with Rachel, according to Beit Shammai, upon Levi's death, right? So then Sarah doesn't need chalitza, no yibam, doesn't need chalitza. She just walks. So kama shalan to loki Beit Shammai. So the Tana, according to Ravashi, is teaching me Mamar to say the halacha is not like Beit Shammai. Then Akinami, he holds their zika. So okay, so that's the way Ravashi will explain the Mishnayot. So now the Gemara says, Rav Nachman kashes Ravashi. Now according to Rav Nachman, he says the Tana holds there is no Zika. There is no Zika. And he said he taught Mamar, teach me that in Akinami, Mamar makes a difference. So Rav Nachman kashed Ravashi. So how is Rav Nachman going to explain the last Mishnah? Why is it that the Tana said that Bedafka Reuven divorces his wife before Levi dies? Why does he give that case? So Rav Nachman kashed Ravashi. V'chi tema, maybe you say like this. Hu adin in other words, I could say to you that even if Levi dies first and then Reuven divorces his wife, the tzara is really muteret. Now, when it says the tzara is muteret, we said that, in other words, this is Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman wants to say the pshat in the Mishnah is it's lav dafka that Reuven has to divorce his wife before Levi dies. Even if Reuven, because there is no Zika. So even if Reuven, if first Levi dies, and then after Levi dies, and so Sarah is standing there for Yibam, but there's no Zika between Sarah and Reuven, and then Reuven divorces his wife, and then he does Yibam with Sarah, in Achinami, Sarah is totally permissible to, upon Reuven's death, to Shimon, according to Rav Nachman. It could be that way. So let's think back to the Gemara. He says, the Chitema on the second line, who didn't feel made, the Charfiki Resh Sarah Tamuteret, Ella Zui Lemutimai. Now, the Tana Mishnah says, Zui, this is the case that they said, Kulim Tamate when it garshed Sarah Tamuteret. This is the case that Chazal referred to, that if the heir of a dies or is divorced, Sarah is permissible. So what's Zui, this and not that? So what's this, what's that? Ella Zui Lemutimai. Lemiute Kanas Vacharka Giresh. So according to Rav Nachman, let's say what the Mishnah is alluding to, the case which is poison, is if Reuven marries, he does Yibum with Sarah, at which point Sarah is married to him and Rachel is married to him, and then he divorces Rachel. So they were both wives, and then he divorces Rachel, and then he dies. So that case is the case that the Tana Mishnah is alluding to, according to Rav Nachman. He says, so the Gemara says, Hanifi Sarah Lak Rav Yirmiya the Amar Tavra, Mishusana Zu Loshana Zu. He says, now this is an earlier Gemara, and Dafya Gimel, the Gemara raised a stira between the Mishnah on Daf Beis and our Mishnah here on Daf Lamed. From the Mishnah on Daf Beis, it seems clear that if the erva dies, even after the person is married to two wives. In other words, Reuben could be married to an erva and another wife, and then he divorces the erva. And according to the Mishnah Daf Beis, and then Reuven dies, so the tzara is permissible because at the time of his death, he wasn't married to the erva. But from our Mishnah, it sounds like that the erva has got to be out of the picture, you know, before, in other words, they can't be married at the same time to the, you know, from our mission, it sounds like they can't be married to the erva at the same time as his Sarah. Otherwise, he's going to be in trouble. That's what it sounds like from our mission. So that's a stira. So the Gemara gives two answers over there. So the Gemara says on line four, and if he Sarah like Rabbi Yirmiyah, so this will work. This shot for Rav Nachman will work well if Rav Nachman agrees with Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Amar Tavra, that indeed it's a contradiction between the two Mishnayot, Mishushana Zu, Loshana Zu, that the Tana who taught the Mishnah Daf Beis is a different Tana than the one who taught the Mishnah here in Daf Lamed. Behind Tana Savar Mita Mapelet, the Tana on Daf Beis holds that the crucial time is the time of death. So we look at the situation at the time of the death of the brother, and if at the time of death he was married to an erva, then we got a problem. But if at the time of death not married to an erva, no problem. That's the way. So if at the time, so even though he had been married to two women and one was an erva, but then he divorced the erva, so at the time of his death he wasn't married to the erva, so no harm, no foul. Mahai Tana Savar, whereas our Tana here holds, is what Yirmiyah says, Nisuna Rishonim Apilim, that we're not looking at the time of death, we're looking, going back to the first marriage. In other words, so if at any point in time he was married to an erva and a non-erva, the non-erva is, you know, covered with this prohibition. In other words, there's no yibum with her. So if that's all true, zui lemiute kanas v'sof giresh. So in Achinami, so then we have a pshat according to Rav Nachman. So according to Rav Nachman, there is no zika. According to Rav Nachman, it makes no difference in our Mishnah whether Reuven first divorces Rachel and then his brother Levi dies, or whether Levi dies first and then there is like some sort of, you know, like union in a way at the same time with the tzara, with his wife, and then he divorces Rachel. In Echinami, there is no difference for those cases. But and the Tana of the Mishnah on Daf Beis is Mechulak with his Tana. Ella is Sabra Karava. But if Rav Nachman holds like Rava, Rava is the other answer in Daf Gimel. Yamar Liolam Chatanahu. He says Rava says that no, the same Tana who taught the Mishnah on Daf Beis is teaching our Mishnah. Zu bein Sirich Lamar Zu Katani. In other words, sometimes the Mishnah says Lo zu apsu. Sometimes the Mishnah is like growing up in greater chidushim. I have a lesser chiddush than a bigger chiddush. Sometimes the Mishnayot are zu bein sirich lamar zu. I have the bigger chiddush, the lesser chiddush. So the bigger chiddush, he told me first that even if maybe he's married to the erva at the same time, so then he divorces the erva before his death, so no harm, no foul. Then it's gone. But then I have a problem. For Rav Nachman, how is he going to explain our mission? Zuhi, but this is the case. So I got a problem. So the Gemara says, Zuhi, so he says, So the Gemara says, you're right. We're going to have to say within Rav Nachman, the Rav Nachman Dafka holds like Rav Yirmiyah. He holds the Mishnah and our Mechulak on one another. And maybe let's say he has a way to explain our mission. Now, going back to Rava, this is a tricky line in the Gemara. Now, Rava is the one who gave the second answer on Daf Yud Gimel. And Rava is the one who said that it's one Tana taught both Mishnayot. Now, Ularava, Hanichi Isavala Kravashi. Now, if Rava holds like Kravashi, now the only thing that comes a little fly in the ointment here, again, Rav Ashi had a way to explain the Mishnayot. Rav Ashi's Hesber and the Mishnayot were that there is Zika. There is Zika. And so therefore, B'dafka, our Mishnah teaches me that that Reuben divorced his wife before his brother Levi died because of Zika, otherwise he'd run into problems. That's the way Rav Ashi explained the Mishnayot. There's Zika. So the Gemara says, if Rava holds that it was the same Tana that taught both. Now, the only thing that's the problem with this is, Hanichi Yisavar LaKaravashi. So Rashi points out, one second, Rashi holds that Rava holds that Mita is my pellet, that Rava holds that the key point in time is the point in death. We look at the situation from the time of death. So earlier we said that Rav Ashi was going to learn it, that the key point in time was from the Nisuin, when they're married, but the key point is time, point of death. So let's see back in the Gemara. He says, Hanichi Sabalak Rav Ashi, Zui Lamute Mate below Giresh. He says, Zui Lamute Mate below Giresh will say, I can need the article here for one second.
Hold on a second. There's a lot of commentary down here.
Okay, one second. Yeah. So he says, yeah. So it's coming to sort of case in which it'll be Reuben died without divorcing his first wife, without taking Levi's widow and Yibam. In other words, you're leaving, you have to go? So he's coming like this. Let's say Levi dies and his wife is omitted for Yibum. Levi dies, Sarah is omitted for Yibum. And Reuven is married to Rachel. And then Reuven dies without doing anything. So that's the case he's coming to exclude. He says that Rava cannot, so he says here, right. So Levi dies first, then Reuben will die with a shidduch. Let me marry a little. So she's the Zika, the time of death. Since Reuben died childless, well, Levi Zika is considered low. She was forbidden to Reuben. Right. So that'll be the case that he'll exclude. In other words, the way Rava will learn it, in that case, that since they're united in Zika, so Shimon cannot do cannot do Yibam with either one of them because there was a Zika with both of them. That'll be what he has to learn. Okay. Rabba, he needs to sabra the Kravash. He's willing to make the Lokiresh. Eli sabra la Krav Nachman. If Rabba agrees with Nachman, Zui Lamutemai. So the Gemara says, Akorach Kravash is really. You have to see he holds like Kravash. That's the best I have with this piece. Okay. Now I'll take questions, comments, and thoughts on this. Anybody? Okay. I'm going to move on. Now, next piece of Mishnah. Okay. Manitin. Bekulan shayubahen kiddushin ogerishin b'safe. Now, let's say a person was married to an erva, but with kiddushin that were safe, or he was married to an erva and he divorced her b'safe. Arelu atzarot kolto below ben yabot. So the tzarot, the co-wives, have to do chalitza, not yibum. In other words, if he had really dissolved the relationship with the erva, so the tzara would be free to do chalitza or yibum. But it's a safek whether the erva is involved or not. So they have to do chalitza, not yibum. He says, ketzad safek kiddushin. What's the case of safek kiddushin? Zarak la kiddushin. Let's say the man is in the rishus harabim. He throws the kesef kiddushin to the woman. Not the most romantic thing. Safek, he's exactly 8 amos away from her. So it's safek, zarak la kiddushin, safek karov lo, safek karov lo. It's a safek whether the kiddushin he threw to her was in her dalet amot or his dalet amot. So safek kiddushin. So that's a case where it's not clear that he was mekadesh the erva. So again, so let's say Reuven was married to Sarah, and he throws safek kiddushin or he throws kiddushin to Rachel, who's the poison. But it's a safek. So upon Reuven's death, upon Reuven's death, Sarah is going to have to do chalitza not yibum. Safek gerushin. What's the case of safek gerushin? Here he was already definitely married to the erva. He says, but kata b'chtav yado, he wrote a get in his own hand, bein alav edim, but not edim on it. So this means that the gerushin would really be good on a deraisa level, but on a drabanan level there are problems. Or yesh alav edim bein bo zman, or there are edim who signed the document, but there's no time on the get. There's only one aid on the get. So safek gerushin. This is safek gerushin. Doesn't really mean safek gerushin. It means that on a drabanan level, but on a deraisa level, the gerushin are good. But we'll see. So now the Gemara takes up in the cases by safek kiddushin he has where he threw it to her, but he doesn't have that case by the gerushin. Gemara beilu begerushin safek karov lo safek karov la lo katani. So when it comes to gerushin, he doesn't give the equivalent case. The equivalent case would be where he was married to an erva and he was married to a regular woman, and then he wanted to divorce the erva, who's the poison, and he threw the get to her in the rishus harabim, and it's not clear who it was close to. So the Tana doesn't teach that. He says, so ilub gerushin safek rov lo safek rov la lo katani my taima. So that gives rise to the presumption that were that to be the case, one second. Were that to be the case, then we would assume that it's not a good gerushin. We assume that they're still married. That from the fact that he leaves it out, he says, "My tam amaraba yishuzu b'chazkat heter l'shukomere." In other words, the status quo ante is that Sarah is the tzara of an erva. That's the status quo ante. Because he's married to two women, and one woman is the poison for it. And then a safek arises as to whether he divorced the erva. So when we have a safek, we're going to revert back to the status quo ante. The status quo ante is that the erva indeed was married to him, in which case Sarah just walks and doesn't have to worry about yibum or chalitza. When he's safek, safek. So don't ask her from Safek. We're going to go back to the status quo ante. That's what the Gemara said. So that's what Rav Yosef says, I think, right? Rabbi, that's what Rabbi says. So Amalei Abaye, Ihafi, the Kiddushin Nami Neimot. So now, by the Kiddushin is the opposite case. So again, in this case, the status quo ante was that he was married to an erva. By Kiddushin, the status quo ante was he was not married to an erva, but now the Safek was he Mekadish the erva? So now the Gemara says like this. So by Kiddushin, we said if it's a Safek Kiddushin, we said you have to do chalitza if it's a tzafek kiddushin. So he's saying, though, if I'm going to revert back to the status quo ante, so then the status quo ante is that he's not mekudesh to the erva. Why do we say the same thing by kiddushin? We should say that this woman, meaning the wife of of Reuven, who you know would have been Sarah, that she's the chesed heter liyavam omeret, that she's standing ready, you know, to be have yibum. And now, out of a sapik, you're going to ask her from Yibam and say, only chalitza. I'll tell her to be sapik. So, when something's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. So, if you tell me that whenever I have a sapik and I have a vadai, I go back to the status quo ante. So, if I go back to the status quo ante by Gerushin and say that was when he was married to the Erva, but it's sapik whether he divorced her or not, so I assume that he didn't divorce her. So then by Kiddushin, where he wasn't married to the Erva, I should just go back to the status quo ante and say that, indeed, he wasn't married to her. So he says, the Gemara says, Hatam l'chumr. So the Gemara says, you're right. Technically speaking, in the last case, we would say you go back to the status quo ante. The status quo ante would mean that Sarah is omitted for Yibum from Shimon, because that's what we know was the case. But as a rabbinic stringency, we say she shouldn't do Yibum as a rabbinic stringency because this whole sapek with Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, that's nice. That's a chumra, you're right, it's a chumra to say she can't do Yibum, but it could lead to a kula, to a leniency. Why? Because sometimes, again, Reuven was married to Sarah, and now we have a case where he may have been Mekadesh an Erva. Now, the way Rashi takes it, the Erva is going to be the daughter of Shimon or something like that, but it's a topic whether he's Mekadesh or not. So let's say Tom Simes will go, and now he'll be Mekadesh, the sister of this woman, of the Erva. He says, in a Badai fashion, or someone else from the shuk will come and be mekadesh this woman that was kiddushin safek. We came into Asra Lamar Lutzara Ligibume, and now since you are going to paskin that upon Reuven's death, that the Sarah, in other words, let's take the second case as the easier two cases. So Reuven was married to Sarah. And then Reuven, he gave Kiddushei Safek to Rachel. Rachel is going to be the problematic one. So let's say then somebody else from the Shuk is Mekadesh Rachel Kiddushei Vadai. So if upon Reuven's death, I say that Sarah is, that Sarah has to do, he says that Sarah cannot do Yibum. Sarah cannot do Yibum with Shimon. That means that we assume that it was a good marriage. He says Amri the Kamak Yushin. So people are going to say the first marriage between Reuven and Rachel was a good marriage, and it was so much of a good marriage it blocked Sarah from doing Yibum. Udabatra lab Kiddushin. The second one was not a good Kiddushin. Now, the case with the two sisters is a little bit more obscure, but the case with the two sisters, you have to say the way it comes out, that the two sisters were maternal sisters, and he was Mekadesh, and he's Mekadesh, the other sisters. Now, how does this work? One second. I have it here. One second. Yeah. He says, maternal sister. All right. Anyway, the maternal sisters get the idea. So, anyway, so he says like this. So the Gemara says on the top line, came into Kamachachat the Chalitza. Since we're going to say that the Sarah needs to do Chalitza, maybe Yadei the Kumar Ba'almahu. In other words, the fact that she's doing Chalitza will tell us that's inconsistent with being married. So that Chalitza will be a red flag to say it's just a Chumra. All right. I think it was going to be it for tonight. Yeah, it's tough. Tell me about it. Okay, one second. Now, let me end the recording. One second.